Welcome to the Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're an industry pro, you're building, or you're buying, we got you covered here at the Home Building Hero. We're coming to you live today from the LP Studios here in Wisconsin. I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you for tuning in today. All right, everybody. You know, they just don't make things like they used to. Wow. Sound like old man talking here. But it's kind of true. They don't make things like they used to. I was kind of thinking about this the other day. I was actually at a very old building downtown Milwaukee, and I was looking at the woodwork in this building, and it was just amazing, right? You know, you see all this like hand-carved animals in the newel posts and things like that, and the detail in the woodwork. I'm like, yeah, we just don't build our homes like that anymore. And that's not really what I'm going to be talking about today. I'm going to be talking about appliances. Because recently there was an article in the Wall Street Journal that talked about the alarming number of defects that are coming out in household appliances lately. And it's causing quite an issue and quite a stir. Now, with problems comes opportunities, but also this is a good time for awareness for everybody that's looking at buying a new home. Or if you're just renovating your home or just wanting some new appliances, you may want to pay attention a little bit because there's definitely some stuff going on here. And this is, you know, obviously a national article, but I posted this last week before I left on my trip for the Builder Show. And I found it to be quite interesting, the number of people that started jumping in and commenting on this, and kind of did my own reporting on it, and seems to be a very, very true thing. And that's a lot of failure rate and high failure rate in these brand new appliances, especially appliances that were purchased in the last 5 years or less. According to the Wall Street Journal article, there's a 58% increase in Yelp requests for home appliance repair. So if you're a kid out there looking for a job and a lot of job stability, you may want to look at getting into the appliance repair business because holy cow, there's a lot of opportunity there. Now you might be asking, what's the reason for this? Why is this happening? And of course, that's where I go first with it, right? And I have some explanations on this. Now, Wall Street Journal article did not really go into a lot of depth on why this is, but that's why you're listening to me. So we'll cover a couple different reasons why. So first off is what I call the reliance on technology. And if you've looked at these appliances lately, they're so much different than they were back in the past, right? There's so much more technology involved in them. They have tons and tons of smart features. They have tons of sensors, touchscreen displays, and yeah, zone sensors and auto shutoffs and things like that to save energy. All these additional conveniences are awesome when they work, but if one of them goes wrong, it could shut down your appliance. It could shut down the entire device. Not only are there more chances for things to go wrong, which is bad, but when they do go wrong, you need a specialized technician to fix it. So you're really creating multiple issues here. And that's one of the biggest challenges with these new appliances is there's so much technology in them. Your traditional repair guy, who typically was more like a mechanical type mind, you know, somebody that was maybe good with wiring or plumbing, now is trying to figure out technology. And your run-of-the-mill repair guys aren't necessarily able to fix these appliances. And you need a specialized person that's more of a computer programmer to fix these things. So that's one of the first things that you're going to deal with and why you're seeing a lot of issues with these newer appliances. The next one is a little bit more on what happened during the pandemic with COVID. And I call it, you know, the product shortage issue. Now, when we had COVID, right, everyone was stuck at home. They started accumulating some money. They didn't go out to eat. They didn't go shopping as much. They didn't go to, you know, concerts and movies and ballparks and all those kind of things. So they put their money into their house. Big time. We know this, right? We've talked about this for years. But this put a huge demand on you know, new appliances. And of course, as the focus went on the homes, also people were building a lot of homes and we were having shortages, right? Remember the 14 months for a refrigerator? Well, guess what happened? A lot of these manufacturers started to make these appliances. They got them halfway built, three quarter of the way built. And they said, oh, we don't have the chips. We don't have this part. We don't have the insulation for it. And they shelved them, right? And they just sat there. And then they had to pick back up. Oh, now we got this part. And so they were kind of half building these things. And they're building them out of sequence. Whenever you do something or make something out of the normal sequence, there's just a good chance something's going to go wrong. And I think that's a big part of it. I think, you know, you've got things half built sitting around. That's probably not good. It's not really a brand new product anymore when it's sitting around like that. And then, you know, you're waiting for just two, three parts to finish it up. I could just imagine things going wrong in that process, wouldn't you? So I'm sure that is contributing somewhat to the number of repairs and the alarming number of service calls that we're seeing on these appliances. And then the next one, next reason why we're seeing all these appliance issues is, you know, again, the focus on green and efficiency versus functionality. Now, again, you know, some people get their feathers ruffled here. I'm okay with green. I'm okay with energy efficiency, right? We all want that, but not at the expense of functionality. And I think we've gotten to that point where we've went a little too far and we're too focused on the green features. And oh, we got to save 3 more cents. Well, if your dishwasher doesn't actually wash the dishes and you have to run it twice, is that really more energy efficient than running it one time and getting the job done? It's a question we got to ask ourselves, right? And, you know, we're putting in all these different things to throttle back the amount of energy or limit the energy usage. And again, that's an important thing to consider, but it's not the main thing to consider. The main thing to consider whenever you have a product is, does it do the main thing it's supposed to do? Does the dishwasher actually wash your dishes? Does your clothes dryer actually dry your clothes? All right. Does your oven actually cook your food? If it's not doing that, then what's the point? And I think that's what's happened is we've lost that. And you're seeing things, you know, that just don't make a lot of sense. Like when it takes you 3.5 hours to run your dishwasher, when it used to take 1.5 hours, are you really saving money on that? And is it really working the way you need it? When it takes you, you know, twice as long to do a load of laundry and now you can only get 2 loads of laundry done a day versus 3 or 4, maybe that's not a good thing, especially if you're busy and you only have 1 day a week to get that stuff done. Maybe you need to get as much output as you can. So we have to make sure that while we are focusing on efficiency, and that's important, that the main function of the product works first and foremost. We don't necessarily need all these bells and whistles all the time. While they're cool and it's nice and it's cool to show your friends, hey, look, I turned my oven on because I'm 5 miles from my house. Well, I don't really need it on, but I wanted to turn it on. Is that energy efficient? Come on. But we're getting too hung up on all these little bells and whistles. And the other thing that's happening, and this is my last point on the reason why this is happening, then we're going to go over some other things regarding the appliances, but there's so much more competition for price and delivering more value, right? So all these manufacturers, there's so many of them that are out there now. You know, it used to just be like, you know, Whirlpool and GE and, you know, and then now you have LG and Samsung and there's so many other, you know, the Decors and the Sub-Zeros. I mean, there's so many other people out there, right, making appliances. So there's a lot of competition and everyone's trying to one-up each other. And instead of making a superior product, which there are some that do, they're just trying to slam as many bells and whistles in it. And it's kind of like what we call feature packing, where you just throw as many cheap whiz-bang features in and you don't really worry about the overall performance of the product. And of course, especially the younger buyers, they want all the technology, right? They're like, look, I want to be able to do this on my smartphone. I want to be able to use my app for this and I want to be able to control it remotely. And that's all great and cool. But if it doesn't work, what's the point? You get a smart oven that can, you know, go on the internet and figure out the exact right recipe for something. But it actually can't even heat up warm enough to cook your food, what's the point? If it doesn't even turn on, you know, is that really something that you want? It's a good question to ask yourself. Thoughts kind of harken me back to my parents' house, right? They had this old refrigerator. I think it was from the 1960s. It was in our basement. It was not our primary refrigerator, but we put soda in there. And that thing was from the 1960s. It still worked into the late 90s and into the early 2000s. In fact, they were going to keep the refrigerator, but there were so many incentives from the electric company to turn these in, and they're going to give you money for it, and it's going to save a lot of, you know, money on your energy bill. And they wanted to, you know, get these off the market, so they did, you know, and it had that old refrigerant in it that was dangerous for the environment. So I get it. Like, they eventually decided to turn that thing in, but the thing lasted like 50 years, and it looked like it was going to go another, I don't know, 5-10 more years before it was going to poop out. That you won't get that out of any kind of new appliance these days. They're not going to last you 50 years. In fact, some of these don't even last 5 years, according to the study. And as I, you know, again, posted this, I'm going to read a few comments from some of the people that posted that saw this. And it's interesting because I, you know, you hear about these things a little bit, but then when you actually like start to ask and pry, it's like, oh, holy cow. All right, here's one from my friend Sarah Jane. She said, "You just described my 2023 all appliances less than 2 years old, and our oven broke twice. We were without it for a total of 8 weeks. Our freezer broke, and while we waited for the first repair visit, the refrigerator failed. We went without it for 19 weeks. We got spun around in a game of incompetence and, I hate to say it, a shady financial scheme between the repair company and the warranty company. It was a horrible experience. And no one in a position cared at all what was happening. Lots of finger pointing." So yeah, these new appliances sure look nice, but they've been a nightmare after the honeymoon phase. And, you know, I kind of replied. And then, you know, one of the things that we talked about and one of the things that's happening, so besides the fact that, you know, the appliance breaks, which is an inconvenience for you, but, you know, you could be without this for a couple weeks because either A, they don't have the parts to repair it, or in many cases, this is what's happening where you bought the stove. Let's just say you paid $1,200 for this stove. It's got some cool features on it, and it breaks, and it's going to cost you $850 to fix. In most cases, they're saying, don't spend the money and fix it. Just buy a new one. And a lot of people are doing that. Now, for all you greenies out there, let's think about this for a second. Is that really the greenest way to build something? You build it and you throw it in the landfill within a year or 2 years? Is that really green? Is that worth the extra 25 cents you're saving on your electric bill? It's a good question to ask. Okay, here's some other comments. Just had one appliance fixed and the appliance and one appliance replaced this month. Speaking with my repairman, certain manufacturers, you're lucky to even have them last 4 to 5 years. They're telling me stories of removing appliances for the junkyard that were less than 2 years old and still under warranty. Lack of parts and other things. Yep, that's exactly the point that I was just trying to make there. So I agree with that. Another one of my friends commented here, Michelle. We've had multiple technology-related issues with new highly rated stoves and dishwashers we just purchased within the last year. The cost to repair the stove was 75% of the cost of the stove, and it was just out of the warranty period. Now, she pressed and worked with the repair company. I had to get the Better Business Bureau involved, and then, of course, all the time involved before having a non-functioning stove. And she said, I would have preferred to just get something more simple that just does what it's supposed to do. Let's see. I got another one here from Brian. He said, you hit a nerve with this one. We purchased a spec home 3.5 years ago with Samsung electronics appliances. Within the last 6 months, the dishwasher leaks. The handle from the microwave came off. Can't get put back on. The fridge ice maker leaked. Just having almost all the entire kitchen appliance, everything is breaking in some way, shape, or form. So, yeah, that's unfortunate to see that, you know. And again, there's all sorts of different brands and different companies out there. But again, the other issue is, you know, we don't have enough repair people. The parts are expensive, or we can't get the parts. And here we go, right? You're stuck now with something you paid for that's new or newish, and it's not working anymore. And it's becoming a huge issue in the industry. So as we think about this, it's a problem, right? So you've got to really do your research. You've got to find products that are going to last. You got to find products that are, you know, going to do what they're supposed to do. And maybe you've got to look at saying, you know what, do I really need all these features, or do I just need something to cook my food really quickly, or wash my dishes, or get my clothes clean? And really pay attention to that. And I think maybe spend more time looking instead of at the features, but also look at, you know, the length of life. Also find out, are there repair people in the area? Are they qualified? I know I was talked out of a particular brand of appliance that I wanted to shift to because it had all those whiz-bang features, because there just wasn't enough repair people out there for them. And they're like, you're going to wait months if you ever have a problem repairing it. So I stayed away from it. And judging by the evidence that I'm seeing out there now, it seems like that's a good decision. So review your design or your design and your selection matrix before you proceed forward with buying appliances. Be really careful, and don't take the bait of the super cheap appliance with all the features in it. Make sure that you're looking at the long-term usage of it, the value, the ability to get repair people out there. And if you have a nice stove or you have a nice refrigerator from several years ago and it's working and you just want something new, you may want to reconsider it. I hate to say that, but some of this new stuff, like I said, they don't make it like they used to.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to The Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Bellman Home Studio. If you haven't already, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. And make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Until next time, I'm David Bellman, signing off.